Assuming that Richard's coming, but we'll call the meeting to order to start with.
4:32,
thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of August 1st.
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now we're going to move into the family court agreed upon procedures RFP. We did receive answers back to our questions. I believe we start an executive session. That's correct, right? So at this time, to review the proposals that to review what we got back from the respondents to the RFP, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Let's take it.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm glad that we've made Michael Berg sit outside almost an hour. Let's allow him to come back in.
I will get back to you.
Thank you.
Is he even on the agenda?
He wasn't because we invited him to come and then he never responded.
Okay.
And then came.
All right.
Sorry, that was important.
Okay.
Come back in. I'm sorry, Michael. That took entirely longer than I expected.
And
we weren't 100% sure you were coming because Amber had never heard back from you after we invited you. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I actually did, I think, respond. But whatever. I'm happy to be here.
It's all good. Welcome back. So you had asked to come and address the committee.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk about something, but something else has come up which I also would like to make a comment on. But first, I thought that the committee should know a little background. We started in Woodstock in 1970. Mm-hmm. In 75, we opened up offices in New Paltz and in Ellenville, with the result that we were delivering significant services in the outlying communities before we ever delivered a service in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're very big in Kingston, but our vision is that we deliver services throughout the county. So when we get a contract, and we get contracts like adolescent services, where we could put one full-time person on, if we station that person in Kingston, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to pay two-thirds of that person's time to travel to where the clients
mm-hmm.
are,
mm-hmm.
or more likely, we're going to serve the people around Kingston, mm-hmm. and the outlying communities are not going to be served. So instead of that, what we generally do is we'll take two or three contracts that each have a person, and we'll say that the person's going to do all three of those contracts in this area of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, everybody gets served. But what happens then, when an auditor comes in, they say they're going to audit February. And they examine February, and they find that one of the three contracts that the person is working under didn't have as many clients that month. Then what happens is they ask for the money back. And we end up fundraising to give it. But I feel that doesn't happen that often, and it's really important that we be able to deliver the services that we do around the county. But as the committee that reviews that stuff, I thought you should be aware of that, because it would be cheaper for me to just do the service in Kingston or just do it in Ellenville, mm-hmm. but that's not where it should be.
Michael, you said that has happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
You gave money back?
Oh yeah, not from the county, from other funding sources. Yeah.
But isn't there? I mean, there must be a way. I think one of the things that becomes challenging when you're splitting contracts, which makes sense. I understand why you'd maximize persons across contracts, but there has to be a way to account for that.
Well,
in a way that. The bean counters, et cetera, can later say, okay, we can see that this is just a third, and we're looking at this over 12 months, or there must be a way
but
to come back.
But they don't look at it over 12 months. When an auditor comes in, they audit a particular month or a particular couple of months.
But when you say they don't serve as many clients, in your records for that month, don't the records reflect that they don't serve as many clients in that month?
Sure. And then they say, because you allocated the same amount of time as if they had served the number of clients, give us the money back.
Well, why don't you change the allocation to reflect an accurate amount of time? That's what, that's, I mean...
Well,
but
well it's also fluid.
They have clients
mm.
that particular month.
Yeah, yeah. It varies.
And you still have to reflect that. I mean...
Yeah, if he has the one person doing three different contracts, maybe he 90% of it is due into one particular contract, and he's 8% the other, and 2% the other
exactly.
one particular month.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean
even, and even in given and even in a given year, I may do I may serve all the number of clients that I committed to serving, but that person in Ellenville may not have. I didn't know that going in, so I divided the money equally. So then they say, well, wait a minute, the person in Ellenville didn't serve that many clients. Give us the money back. So that happens. I mean, it's a problem.
Don't you use the whole contract, which includes...
People don't look at the whole contract and say, you did it all, so here's all the money.
Maybe
it's paid on the quarter or monthly. Or
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. The auditors, you know, it's like... and I understand that, and I'm ready. It's all right. But I just think that you should know that, because we do this in order to serve the whole county. And I think it's really important that you be envisioning serving the whole county.
I think that's critical, too. But I also think there's got to be a way to account for people's time. If, as you're saying, Richard, one person is wearing three different hats, which is a necessity in an organization like yours, I get that. At any given time, you should be able to look and say, okay, this month, this week, it was 90% to this project. And
right, but what he's saying is, like,
at the end of the year, if one of them didn't do a third, but only did 20%, even though another one did more, I can't then say, I'm going to take the money I gave him in February and put it to this guy in April, because it doesn't quite work out.
What he's saying is, if there's funding allocated to one particular program and the person is working on three different programs and doesn't do as many clients in February and they get paid per client or something along those lines, then they take money back from February for that program that's specifically funded
but
by one organization.
That would happen even if it was one particular person working on one particular program. If one program had less clients in a month, it's irrelevant whether that person's being spread over three or four or five contracts.
Well, it is because if one person is only working on one contract, then I just have to justify that the person worked, because it's all devoted to one contract. Whereas when it's three contracts, they say, well, how come you put 40% to this one and 20% to this one like that? And that I can't always justify given how many clients were at any given time. I'm not asking you to fix this, but I thought that it was something that you should be aware of. In any case,
well,
the other thing...
state contracts or federal contracts that do that?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
One,
well, so,
Either one.
I did want to speak briefly to the fact that we were audited by the county. And
by the comptroller.
By the comptroller's office, yes. And I want to say that we're used to being audited. I mean, the county, that audit was the 15th that we did in 6 weeks.
Jesus.
But there were some things with this one that I was put off by. I want to say that historically, we learned very early that it was very important as an agency not to get involved in politics. And we have been assiduous in staying out of that. And it felt like this audit dragged us into a political thing between the county auditing department and the county executive. So, as an example, there's like an 11-page audit, and they had findings, and I understand that. But it wasn't until the second to last paragraph of the 11th page that they said, oh, and by the way, none of the expenses that were requested or paid were wrong. And that's the primary function of an audit. So the fact that it didn't get until the 11th page didn't feel good.
Are there any certain things in the audit that were of concern to you?
Well,
you say it dragged
you
into political.
You know,
in what way are you talking about?
It's an 11-page audit, and then I wrote a 5-page response, and in the audit it says that my concerns were impacted on this audit, but they weren't not a bit. And so it's true that they did include my letter, but how many people got to read the 11-page audit and then read my letter? So I'll show you some things that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, they cited us for making a mistake that there was a mistake in the second quarter of a voucher for the Youth Bureau. And it was. I'll tell you exactly what happened. What happened was that the Youth Bureau asked for new, and my staff person added the people that were carried over and served from the first quarter. So there was an error. But we redid the second quarter report before the audit. So I didn't understand why they cited it if we had already done it.
So you found the error, corrected the error, and then subsequent to that, an audit was done that cited your error.
Exactly.
Did it cite did it also mention that you had fixed the error prior to?
They mentioned that it was repaired, but it was after they cited the error, like the error, you know. We're not perfect, and we never will be, although I try hard, and I know my staff does. But it just felt like what was happening was they were looking for things to be able to cite us on.
But Mr. Burke, we have to point out what is actually
on the ground.
Yes, you do have to.
Yeah, Evan. I'm gonna let you respond, but I'm not gonna have this turn into a half hour back and forth.
No, and I certainly don't want it. But I do want to give you a couple of examples of things that that it felt didn't feel good. Another example is they cited us for not citing that we gave credit for the funding source that paid for the money for the grant. That funding source happened to be OCFS. OCFS happened to have dropped that requirement. It was still in the contract, but the auditor was told that the requirement had been dropped and was going to be left out of the next year's contract, but they cited us for it.
But we also acknowledged that...
Evan, let me call on you. Raise your hand, let me call on you. This is the committee, it's not an argument. Do you want to...
No, I would like to state that we did acknowledge that was before.
For future reference, when you're stating on the committee, raise your hand, be recognized, and then respond. Michael, go ahead.
We were cited... Well, there were three out of the five contracts were Youth Bureau contracts. Mm-hmm. The Youth Bureau contracts get decided... They're all the state money determines the amount of the contract. It's a match. Mm-hmm. 60% state, 40%, or 20 and 20, or 40% county. Yeah. So... The county doesn't know in January what the contract should be, so they delay in contracting. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right thing to do. I would not advocate that the county create a contract when they don't know how much money they have.
Right.
But the county, and then we were cited for being late. So it felt like what was being said is they should contract whether they know it or not. And I didn't understand that. It felt like they were looking for things to cite us on. Mm-hmm. Now, we have been a little bit late with vouchering. We had a staff person out, those kinds of things. And I will own that we've been having a very tough time in terms of receiving payment. Payment's been late and slow, and as a result, we've been tight. I mean, I'm close to overdrawing the bank this very week. Now, next week, we get a lot of money, and so it should be all right. The per diems that we gave in haven't been paid yet. They will be probably next week, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But given that we have a lot of contracts, our line of credit is significant, but so is our receivables.
Have you shared the concerns that you've had with the comptroller?
I wrote a five-page response.
Right, no, but I'm saying after you wrote the response and you were disappointed with its inclusion, where it was included and how the final report came out once it was released, after your response, did you share your concerns with the comptroller?
In my experience of audits, we get a tentative, we write a response, it gets adjusted based on our response, and then it's preempted. I did such a response, mm-hmm. and I was told that it would be taken into consideration, but I don't think it was. They did acknowledge it by including it, and if people read it, that's fine.
I appreciate you coming here, and Richard, one sec. I appreciate you coming here and sharing your concerns. I think that, you know, when you're dealing with the state auditors or federal auditors, it might be a little different than when you're dealing with, you know, the county comptroller who's one floor down. It might behoove you to go to him and say, you know, I really think that this wasn't properly included, and in the future I'd like to see it included, and I think that he might be reasonable enough to do that. Richard?
Response.
Evan, I don't know how you do your audits. I don't know. I really want to be involved, but if you do an audit with the department, you have I sit down with the department heads or in that particular area and say, hey, this is our findings, and you give time to respond to that, so that, you know, a lot of this stuff that he's referring to, I'm sure, could be worked out. Or, I mean, you're saying one thing, he's saying another thing regarding the findings. It seems to be, you know, from what I'm just hearing now, it's not that materialistic regarding, you know, how important that audit is.
There is always an exit interview with either the department and or the vendor. In this case, it was the three departments as well as family. All were given an opportunity to respond. The findings were at least delivered in draft form with everyone at that point, and then the only response came from family itself at that point.
Right, so he gave you a response. Did you discuss that with him, you know, what he was talking about?
I'm not sure I followed.
When he gave his response, did you sit down and go over his response and, you know, and your audit and make alterations to the audit based on the response?
The response was incorporated in statements throughout the audit, and I think that's where the differentiation lies.
Well, no, you said that you sit down as an expert
to discuss our findings. The response comes in is almost.
Disputing your finding, you know, you make statements to dispute your findings. I mean, if you're saying this happened, he has reasons.
The response is disputing the findings,
and he's giving justification why.
Yes.
One second, Michael.
For instance,
let him finish, and then you.
Sure. With the tagline of funding was not received or not stated by the office, that was included in that finding.
Wait,
I could
Michael?
Give you another example. We started using a new software. It's called Apricot for our domestic violence programs. We're not allowed to use the same software for domestic violence as we use for others by the state regs, and. My people aren't really doing that well with the software yet. And so the software did not allow them easily to differentiate residential from non-residential. So the auditor cited us saying they couldn't differentiate between residential numbers and non-residential numbers, so therefore they couldn't evaluate how we did. But when I heard that, before this finding was printed, I sent him an overview which totally divided residential from non. But it didn't get cited that was available to them. And in my letter, I cited every finding, residential and non, so that he could see that we had met all of the requirements. But that was not cited.
All right, if I could stop this right here, Michael. Thank you for coming and bringing this to our attention and bringing it to the comptroller's office's attention. I think that the proper venue for you to discuss this would be with the comptroller.
Okay, I came here to tell you the other thing
was great. I appreciate it,
but it would happen to be timeless, and I did feel that it. You know, the audit was fine, and there were no super big findings. I mean,
right.
We have some work to do. Yes, we should be more current. I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like they were looking for things to cite us when they should have started by saying there were no major findings.
Right.
None of the money that we asked for was inappropriate or like that.
And I think that's a conversation, you know, I'm sure the comptroller would love to sit down with you. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right. The next item on the agenda, you know, since I moved Michael up, is a sheriff's department agreed upon procedures audit. In between our last meeting and this meeting, Amber had come to me and said, here's something that hasn't been done in a while. The last time it was done, the sheriff's department... The sheriff's department, you know, the last time it was done, it said that the things were really bad. It was in 2009, and you know, she thought it might be a good place to audit at the sheriff's department. So I had her draw up a list of agreed upon procedures that she thought would be good for the audit. Everyone has them in their packet. Tracy.
So first of all, I talked to Amber at length about this. and I was going to put everything in writing, and then I just thought I would wait till we were in person, and we got delayed. But this took, and Amber can attest, a while to get, because this, at the June meeting, when we asked, when Hector had his questions and I had my questions, the sheriff's office representative, and I can't recall if it was the sheriff
was
himself
Freer.
Under sheriff Freer, represented that, oh, audits are done, and you can go back to the tape, audits are done on an annual basis. We do that, we have them done ourselves. So, if you recall, we said, we were at the college in those little desks, and we said, that's great. So let's get a copy of them.
Yeah.
And which is why I kept reaching out to Amber saying, have we gotten those copies? Now, I think it's pretty sad that there's one audit done in 2009, when here it is 2017, we're told, oh, we do an audit on an annual procedure. Amber, so I asked Amber, where's the rest of them? Where's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16? And Amber followed up. Amber stopped me anywhere I'm wrong. And they said, well, that's it. That's the last one. Now we're under the guise of the comptroller, who we know does not do annual audits. And I talked to Evan. We'll get to that in a minute as well. They don't do audits.
They do reports.
Okay, but they certainly don't do what was represented as done by an outside agency on an annual basis by the sheriff's department. Then you look at this report, and to say that it's problematic and damaging is a bit of an understatement. I mean, it talks repeatedly.
Maybe an understatement, but it's accurate. I mean, like, we can at least agree that what I stated was accurate.
Exactly. No, what you said is accurate for sure. Extraordinarily high degree of risk associated with this account not being reconciled. Imperative that this account be reconciled. Now, coincidentally, when you look at the comptroller's report, which was of 13. The comptroller's office looked at least one of the accounts, the inmate account, and made some of the same observations. Now, when I talked to Evan, you're going to have to refresh my memory, because, again, time's getting further away. The comptroller only looked at the numbers that they were given. Those numbers were never verified. It's as if the comptroller was told, okay, there's $1,000 in the bank, and the comptroller's office was able to go, okay, there's $1,000 in the bank. But they weren't given the full accounting. So
the comptroller was told that there was $1,000 in the bank, and they looked in the bank and saw that there was $1,000 in the bank.
Right.
Okay.
But without the other end of the verification, to me, that's only halfway. You look through all this, and then you look at Amber's questions. I don't know if everybody looked at Amber's list of questions that she sent back. She copied us all on it to the sheriff's office. And, you know, the answers are pretty lacking. I totally agree. At the least, we need to do this for sure. I think it's pretty crazy that it hasn't been done by the sheriff's office since then. In fact, Amber, and I believe, asked if there were additional. I mean, if the staffing issues had been addressed, which are in here, and it's essentially, oh, the staffing issues were addressed. Correct me if I'm wrong, we have different staff. We just change the staff. When the concern is that there needs to be additional staff, a different set of eyes, a different, which doesn't mean an additional hire. Mm-hmm. It means an additional person signed to
the duty of processing.
So, yes, I still would like to, and we finally got, due to a confusion in, I don't know how that got resolved, Amber, but I know you sent out Under Sheriff Freer's answers, but they were a long time in finding because he kept sending back my questions, not the answers. So somehow we didn't get the answers, even though they responded,
months ago, I get it.
But we only just saw them a week ago or whatever. And those numbers, my questions and my want to look at the jail in the jail report that I circulated, I think would be very helpful to us as a legislature, as policymakers who could reach out to and convene and discuss with the DA and with the judges the issues of bail, when we're told that, you know, the vast majority of the population on any given day is in the jail, I realize I'm jumping from this for a second, but is in the jail for unsentenced, and bails range from $1 to, you know, I mean, if someone's in jail on a $100 bail or a $10 bail, I think we have to really ask the question of, you know, why is that happening, and how can we affect a change? And a report would help us with that. But we're going to have to look at what finances we have, because obviously, this is a priority, and this should have been done internally. It shouldn't be something that we had to do, because when you're handed a report that says there's these kind of glaring failures, and you
right.
just don't do anything in terms of having it rerun. I mean, I'm hoping that when it's rerun, everything's going to be perfect. You know,
so,
everything's going to be great.
Amber contacted 5 local firms mm-hmm. because she figured this would be under the amount that we need to RFP for, mm-hmm. And she asked for quotes. CGR said that they're too busy to do it. Gagnon says he no longer does AUPs. Flynn no longer does them. Stack, gave us a quote of $8,500 to do it, and Hudson Valley CPAs never responded.
Only one person.
Only one of the 5 responded,
maybe,
and they're all local companies.
Maybe we should shove that right into O'Connor Davies, too, for $7,500.
Because the economy is better. A lot of business.
Yeah. That's why Gagnon and Flynn don't do them anymore, mm-hmm. probably, because they're too busy doing everybody's taxes.
That's a positive.
And books.
Yeah.
But I think, $8,500 is a reasonable amount, because it's under the $10,000 I believe we can just award.
$20,000
I thought about 10. So
I thought it was 10 too, but that's all right.
It went up.
So I don't know what the committee's thoughts are.
I think we did change. I think
it's really important that we do this.
I have no problem doing it, but we get another price. $8,500 is a justifiable price.
I mean, we're just.
Do you have any firms? Because Amber contacted the 5 local firms that she knows that she thought did this work.
I mean, there's no more than 5 firms up in Kingston.
I could try more people.
You want to contact RBT, maybe? Or RBT or Nugent Hausler? Or I don't know if they do it or not.
You get quotes, generally. That's a sample that you would do for when you get
quotes. About the guy that sat on one of these committees?
Who? Oh, God. Merck. No.
No.
I don't
contact Richard Merck. Why not?
No. Kenny, no. Oh, for fuck's sake, no.
Don't you realize if we put these things online, people...
I know. Yeah, but you know what, though? But when somebody says that, because I'm sure that's going to be picked up...
I said that under my breath.
That's going to be picked up there, mister.
Well, let's just try another round. I mean, this hasn't been done since 2009. What's another couple months?
Well,
I really don't understand why that... I mean, that's another thing, is I really don't understand why it hasn't been done since 2009, when we were very clearly told...
Why don't we do this? Amber's going to go and ask a couple more firms for a quote, and then why don't we ask Amber to see if any of these 3 other firms will give us a quote, so we can have a second quote. In the meantime, we're going to have to meet again on the family court RFP. Why don't we ask the sheriff to come in and we can discuss that with him?
Can I ask Amber a question? Amber, if another agreed upon procedures report, if a report came up, if the next one comes up ostensibly the same, mm-hmm. Would it make sense to do a bona fide audit, since an audit expresses an opinion, right? I mean, here they're saying they're not expressing an opinion because they're not required to, mm-hmm. because they're not engaged to perform an audit. Mm-hmm.
Some of the accounts are audited every year in the annual audit.
How do they not realize?
I contacted our external auditor, and I asked how in-depth they look at these accounts. And they basically explained to me that they're below their materiality threshold, and that once every 2 or 3 years they look at the internal controls for them, and beyond that they're not looked at.
Right.
And I said, well, don't you look at long-term outstanding items? And they said, no, they're not material. So,
So what I'm saying is, let's imagine worst case scenario. If you have repeat glaring problems, then do you follow up with an audit?
Isn't that something that we would decide? I feel like it's a question for after, not for before. I feel like we can't assume that they're right. That it's going to come the same way.
I'm just asking, generally speaking, like what? I mean, because nothing was done about this in terms of a follow up report. So I'm asking, what do you normally do if you have an agreed upon procedures report come back with a negative finding, then the comptroller's report comes back mm-hmm. in terms of this one issue with essentially the same finding, mm-hmm. and the comptroller's office wasn't aware of this. No one was aware of this until we got it. Mm-hmm. So, with essentially the same finding, and at what point do you engage an audit, and what would the expression of an opinion say that this doesn't, is what I'm asking.
Well, for this, it's looking at only a piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. as opposed to revenues, expenses, classifications. Mm-hmm. This is only cash. So, I think you would have to have concerns about the rest of the account to justify an audit.
Okay. Well, we'll see after we do this.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll have Amber reach out to the sheriff and ask him and his finance team or whoever he said that he would bring the last time he came, to come to our next meeting and discuss the lack of those audits and the undersheriff's comments that there were audits done every year. And then, we'll hopefully have another quote. And if we don't have another quote, I think that we can just be comfortable going with that, mm-hmm. with the quote that we have. And then we'll work on the other thing too, Trace.
And then, okay, that seems like a logical course of action. But then in terms of what the funds we have left, are we going to discuss family and possibly the jail, if we have enough funds, jail population study, audit? Because I think if it's 8,500, even if we're at the maximum with this one, we still have mm-hmm. significant funds left.
Yep. And those can be encumbered to next year as well if we want to do the jail study. It's not something that's not something that has
like
a
with
definite
us at the
conclusion.
Table, it'd be good. Yes, exactly. But it'd be good.
I agree. I agree.
The end of the year. The other thing. Does anyone want to speak to that? Because I just want to kind of move that same concept too. If what Michael Burke was talking about the people working three different jobs and how you analyze that, I think that speaks a little bit to earlier when I was saying and trying to figure out how we look at family as a holistic organization, mm-hmm. trying to make sense of how it works across.
Because one person may be doing 25% of their work for Ulster County and 50% of their mm-hmm. work for the state of New York and 25% of their work for the federal government.
It's exactly the thing. Like that problem that he's talking about, even though he's talking about it within our county or mm-hmm. within one person, because he's using the example of a person who works in Ellenville, New Paltz, and Kingston and getting to around the county. That's exactly what I was speaking to in terms of...
Yep.
How it speaks to his whole program. And I'm not sure, we're not going to tackle it right now, but I think we need to think about, again, the sheriff's office, the big county cost factor, and family as big county cost factor, both that aren't audited we have an opportunity to take a look, not a gotcha look, not trying to say, but just really take a look at it. And so Ken might have some.
Ken,
I'm going to interrupt Tracy, but I think we all know family does a great job. I review their contracts mm-hmm. all the time. Again, I appreciate how they allocate resources to meet service
to maximize the served population for the minimized cost.
Tracy's on the cusp of the question: is are you allocating 100% of someone's time or 150% of someone's time?
Right.
Because there's no more than 100%.
Exactly.
So that's the question.
Yeah. Right. The question is, are they doing 75% of the work for us and 75% of the work for the state? Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe we can think about that, Amber, to think about it.
We can all
partner
between now and the next meeting. Yep.
Meeting. And everyone can, again, look at the answers from that Amber circulated regarding the jail population. Just think about that in relation. We could resend the reports
mm-hmm.
that were done for other counties, and just looking at that initial, the initial answers, just the cursory answers in terms of the population, I think reflect on how that kind of a report could be very helpful to us in terms of understanding our population and and how we can how it could have a positive effect in the long run.
Sounds good.
Do you want to discuss the next meeting time, please?
There's just, you know...
I got so let's do it now.
Let me look at the... Let's look at the calendar.
We're going to start the budget stuff soon, so maybe you could tack it on 10 minutes before or after one of those budget
10
meetings.
Minutes?
I mean, if you're, you know, if you're deciding who you're going to pick or whatever...
It's being started at 4:30.
Yeah, a little bit.
Actually, 4:33, actually.
Why don't we... Do you want to have the next meeting... well, you can have the next meeting on the 10th, but I'm not going to be here.
I don't think I can get a quote from anybody else in that short a time frame.
Okay. So, why don't... do you think the 17th before session? You comfortable that you can get a quote then?
Awesome. And then we run into the, you know...
The caucus. Can we do a tentative and then...
Why don't we do the 17th at... 3:30?
Can we
pick? Is that possible for you, Mary Beth? Weeks out?
Meeting night.
No, but can we just do like a separate, just like we just did today, do it on a non-night when we're, you know, when we don't have a meeting that we're up against.
It's easier.
I love it when it's on. I mean, I appreciate that I messaged Mary Beth up. And I did today say we should have it later for Mary Beth, but I thought Mary Beth was off and Mary Ward was on based on the email cycle. I like them, just me personally, being selfish, I like them when they're all on one day.
I mean...
And it is an election time.
Concern.
No, but I'm saying, though, we go to your
running
on
no.
stuff, and...
No, because this is on.
that's fine, and I'm not going to say I'm not trying to win my seat back. It's not a secret.
Do you have an opponent?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'd like to go on
must
and on
a,
too.
Must
and
be
I'm
a humdinger,
here,
huh?
So. Well, you're the only one that I think we that
budget,
we're working on. It's better for.
No,
I'm saying she's the only one that would have an issue because it's earlier. It's better for people.
Could you do 3:30 with enough lead time, probably?
Yeah. All right.
So why don't we do? Do you want to do 3:00 to give us enough time? Because we obviously have a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 hours?
It could be.
This took an hour and a half, Richard, and we didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, and there was plenty of go get from this end of the table.
And I believe the sheriff's going to probably take up at least the time that Michael took up tonight. So I think that we should make it 3:00, and if we're lucky to be done with the meeting and accomplish everything that we're trying to prior to Ways and Means, then we'll just all go across the street and have a taco.
Yeah, well, we're
going to
have
a drink.
You can do both.
Taco.
You can do both. Anyway.
He said it's going to be a light agenda that night, too. So.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Chair, shall we adjourn?
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Still moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Have a nice evening.